Welcome to Victory Outreach Youth Convention 2006. Inheriting the nations is based on one of the scripture promises given to Victory Outreach found in Isaiah 54:2 through 3. Victory Outreach began in 1967 and today has over 500 churches and ministries in 24 countries worldwide. We pray as you listen to this dynamic conference's messages that your heart will be challenged to fulfill your destiny in Christ.
Acts 16, verse 9, it says, "During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." Before you're seated, I want you to give five people a high five and tell them it's time to start preaching. As you look at the Apostle Paul, we find a man that stands out in a very powerful way. He was a man who understood the plan of God for his life, and he completely dedicated and committed himself to accomplish the vision of God for his life. Now, when we look at Paul, we may ask and we may say, what did he have that I possibly may not have? I'm sure there's a lot of things that he has that we probably don't. But tonight I want to bring out some key things that I believe that can help us here as a youth ministry, as God's anointed now generation, to inherit the nations. We find right here that Paul, here in our text, we find Paul saying and writing during the night. Somebody say during the night. The night, and most of us know that the night could be representing that he may have been going through a tough time, a time in the dark, a time where it seems like it seems when it's the most darkness, a time where there's no light on any given situation. And that's what Paul was writing right here, saying during the night. And also, maybe you're here tonight and you can identify with the Apostle Paul talking about that you've been going through a process of being during the night, meaning that you are blind to the things of God because you're in the dark. You're in the dark because and you can't see anything. You can't see what every preacher is talking about. You can't see what your pastor is talking about every Sunday morning. It's possibly because you're in the dark still. And what I mean by in the dark, meaning that you may just be clueless, oblivious of to what's going on. Or the other, you may be just straight up in sin. Bottom line, yes, I went there. Straight up in sin. I remember a message by Pastor Tony Jr. from Winter Retreat. Never forget the title, Stop Sinning. And right there in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. You must understand, my friend here this morning, that the God of this age, little g, not the ultimate God, not Yahweh, but the God of this age is trying to blind our generation. Blind us from the gospel, blind us from the things of the Lord. One of the nights, I was in my bed and I couldn't really sleep. And I was looking at my alarm clock. God began to speak to me about how the enemy, about this generation, what the enemy wants to do to this generation. And he used my alarm clock. And I think Pastor Al was talking about his alarm clock this morning. But he showed me that tonight that there may be some young people here tonight that they're either sleeping or snoozing their life away. They're either sleeping or snoozing their life away, or someone here may just want to skip their life, want to skip their age. They don't like how old they are right now. They want to skip their age and wait till they get older because they look at life as discouraging. Or others may be here, was probably the worst, where that they just want to stop their life. They don't want to live anymore. They just want to completely stop everything. And others are just on standby, waiting for something good to happen to them, but believe it's really never going to happen at all. But I believe rather than sleeping, snoozing, rather than skipping, rather than stand by or stopping life, we need to set ourselves in God, stand upon God's word, and strive towards the vision that God has for our life. Can I hear somebody say amen? See, it may have seemed dark to Paul because in the previous verses, we didn't read them tonight, but all the doors were being closed on him. All the doors in the other cities were being closed on him. So I'm sure he must have thought, God, what are you doing? What's going on? You called me to preach the gospel, but you're not opening any doors for me. And I'm sure some people here tonight, if you're going through that season of the night and you feel like all doors are being shut on you, you may think, God, I don't know if you called me, because if you called me, why is this door shut? If you called me, why isn't this happening? If you called me, how come you haven't provided? You called me to the UTC. How come I'm not there yet? You called me to go and get launched out. I haven't been launched out yet. God, what's going on? But you must understand, like Paul, God saw before Paul. God saw before Paul, and God sees before you. See, all Paul saw was the doors being shut in his face. But God saw and knew what was about to happen. See, some people saw this generation as the next generation, a no good for nothing generation, a lazy generation, a generation that's undisciplined, a generation that's worldly. But God sees, and God saw, not just an X generation, but God saw God's anointed now generation. And for Paul, even though it was during the night, but I thank God for the promise there in Psalms 30 verse 5. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Right when you think it's not going to happen, bam, God shows up. Right when you think it's not going to happen, right when you think, man, it can't get any worse, right when you think, man, what's going on? That's when God shows up. And for Paul, God showed up. He showed up. He showed up, and he gave Paul three things. And this is what Paul had. First, God gave Paul an upward vision. Somebody say an upward vision. Upward vision means having a vision from God. And we heard from our founder, and we heard from this morning, we hear it a lot in our ministry, vision. It's important, because without a vision, people will perish. And Paul had many visions from God. Acts 9, Paul got a vision from God when he was knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus. This was his first vision, and this was the vision for salvation. There may be somebody here tonight that needs to get knocked off their high horse and realize it's time to get serious with God. Yes, I'm talking to you. Yes, that's right. I'm coming up to your door, and I'm knocking, and I'm telling you it's time to get serious with God. It's time to quit playing games. It's time to quit checking out the chicks. It's time to quit checking out the guys. It's time to quit fooling around. It's time now to get serious with God. It's time now to say, hey, it's my time to serve God with all of my heart. Another vision Paul had was not only for salvation, but also a vision for ministry. See, God is still in the business of giving us his vision for our lives. He's still in the business of that. And see, you must understand, you have to ask yourself this question. Do you have a vision from God? Do you have a vision from God? Or do you have, number one, a deceived vision? Meaning you're completely going for a wrong vision, Maybe the vision that you think is so great is a worldly vision, and it's from worldly desires. You want fame. You want to go on the American Idol. You want to be the top model. You want to go on Oprah and get a house and get all hooked up. Or maybe you want to have a vision to meet Dr. Phil. I don't know. But I'm sure that type of vision is a deceived vision. Or two, you may have a distracted vision. Meaning you're not focused on God's vision for your life. You look at Peter. When Peter started walking on water, was because he had a vision of Jesus. But halfway, Peter began to stop fixing his eyes on Jesus, and he started to focus his vision on his circumstance. And so what happened? Peter started sinking because he got distracted. What's this telling us? This is telling us that you can have a vision and still get distracted. You can still get distracted. See, I've heard our founders say, if the enemy can't get you to backslide, then the next best thing, he'll get you distracted. As long as Peter didn't focus on his circumstance, he was walking on water. But once he started to focus on his circumstance, he lost the ability to rise above it. But my friend, we need to stay focused on the vision that God has given to us. And our ministry, the vision that God's given us, the house vision, the international vision, the overall, we should stay focused on it. See, people have a challenge with commitment because they lose sight of the vision. If you have it burning inside of you, if it's internalized, then it's not a problem to be committed. But if you don't got the vision, if you're not focused on it, that's probably why we deal with uncommitted people. But I think we should always stay focused on the vision that God's given us. Thirdly, you may have a diverted vision. Diverted means that your vision got changed to something else that is not of God. At one time, it was the things of the Lord. At one time, it was, man, I want to be a great man of God. At one time, it was, I want to go to the UTC. At one time, I want to, you know, be a preacher, I want to be a pastor, I want to be launched. At one time. But somehow, some way, you got diverted. Now, instead of going to the UTC, the Army of God, you want to go to the Marines. I'm not dogging the Marines. We need them. But if God called you to the UTC, a spiritual army, how did you end up in the Navy? If God called you to be a great leader there in your church, to rise up, but yet you got diverted, now you're being a great leader at Walmart. Your vision got diverted. Or fourthly, lastly, you may have a distorted vision. And a distorted vision means that your vision is blurry. It's unclear. You don't know where you're going. You have no clue. You're clueless. It's like you're in a fog. You don't know where you're going. You can't see. It's like driving in the rain without windshield wipers. You can't see. It's blurry. You may have a distorted vision. But the Bible says that Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him. See, his vision was clear. His vision was clear. It was of a man. And this man represented a nation. This man represented souls that were hurting. This man represented people that were in need. Secondly, this vision required change. You see, Macedonia is across the Asian Sea over to Europe. Paul is in Asia. But like I told you earlier, remember the Lord had been closing the doors in Asia. And Paul didn't understand why. I believe that God closed the doors to those other cities because Paul had already been there. Paul had already been there. See, for some of you, you've been praying for doors to open, but they are the same doors that you already went through a year or 2 years ago. And God said, hey, I've already opened those doors for you. I don't want to continue opening them to you. I want to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So because you want to go backwards, I got to shut them closed and let you know that I have called you into new territory. Paul had never been there to Macedonia. Paul never seen Europe. Paul never stepped there. But that's why God foresaw what was about to happen there in Macedonia. God saw the revival that was about to break loose. And he said, Paul, if you continue going on your own agenda, you'll keep going backwards. You'll keep going sideways. But I called you to go to the next level. I've called you to go glory to glory. I called you to do great exploits. And that's what God wants to do here at this conference. God wants to take you to the next level. God wants to take you through new doors that you've never been through. For some of you, you've been through those old those doors before a year ago, 2 years ago. And if it was on your own, you'll go backwards. But we don't serve a God who goes backwards. We don't serve a God that takes steps back. But we serve a God that goes from glory to glory to glory to, come on somebody, to glory to glory. You keep going on, baby. This ministry has been in 40 years. Why? Because it's been going from East LA, Southern California, all of California, Chicago, East Coast, Europe, all of a sudden Mexico, where all of a sudden Europe, all of a sudden Asia, now in Africa, God has always gone from glory to glory to glory. Come on, somebody, give God a hand this morning, this evening, if you're catching it. New territory. God wants you to break into new territory. Tell your neighbor, say, hey, I'm going. I don't know about you, but I'm going into new territory. Tell your neighbor, say, hey, I don't know about you, but I'm going where no man has gone before. Thirdly, Paul's vision was consistent. This man was there from Macedonia, but he was standing. See, you must understand that this vision, this calling is immovable and it's permanent. And it will last from generation to generation to generation. Meaning that when God gives you a vision, there's no running from it. It's always going to be there. And like Jonah, you cannot run from the calling of God. You can try, but you will be miserable. You will go through storms after storms after storms until finally God says, do I have your attention now? Some of you, that's why you're going through storms after storms after storms, because you're running from the call of God. And you're wondering why your family's all chaotic. You're wondering why you're sick in body. You're wondering why you're frustrated. You're wondering why all hell is breaking loose. It's probably because God is trying to get your attention. Saying, hey, all this, I allowed it because I want you. And only when you completely surrender, that's when great things take place. So you have to understand, let me just tell you straight up. You just got to know this. Bottom line, you won't be happy doing anything else. You can try to do other things. You can try to get a job at In-N-Out and climb up the ladder there. You can try to go to a university and get a good degree. You can try to get married and buy a nice condo, have your pool cleaned every week, and have right there your little dog spa. You can try to have the good life. You can try to have the good life. Come on, the good life. Come on, do the quotations with me. The good life. You can try to have the good life. But I want you to know this. That if you want to just have the good life, you're going to live a life unfulfilled, empty, frustrated. You can't sleep at night. You won't be able to enjoy your nice good life vacation. You'll go to Yosemite. You'll go to Hawaii. But when you see a drug addict, when you see a gang member, something deep down inside your heart is like, oh, man, something's, you won't be happy. You'll be frustrated. You'll be like, man, what's going on? I can't live right. I can't enjoy this so-called good life. I don't know about you. I don't want the good life. Did you hear me? I do not want the good life. You know what I want? I want the great life. You didn't catch that. I don't even want to think about the good life. I don't even want to think about the nice condo, white picket fence, right there with the little poodle right there. No, no. I want the great life. The life that's right in God's perfect will. The life that says, God, whatever you want, not my will, but thy will be done. I want the life that counts. I want the life that makes a difference. I want the life that's significant. I want the life that makes an impact in this generation. I want the great life. I don't want to just have a regular car with some rims on it and the XMN radio. That's okay, but I want the great life. I want to be able to have souls in my car and take them to church. I want to have a life that means something. I want people to be able to look at me. Oh, I mean, I don't want them to look at me. Oh, wow. Man, it's a good life. Look at that. Beautiful wife, two girls. Oh, wow. That's nice. That's for shashas. That's not for the homeboys. That's not for the hardcore. That's not for the gang. I want the great life. I want to be able to know what it feels that when problems, pressures, persecution arises, I want to be able to see God move in powerful ways. I want to see miracles. I want to see salvations. I want to see healings. I want to see the drug addicts delivered. I want to see gang members saved. I want to see your prostitutes all turn their life to Jesus. Come on, somebody, give her a big hand. Oh, if you're catching it tonight, give the Lord a big hand, somebody. Next, his vision was compelling, meaning the man was begging Paul. I envision the man crying, pleading with such an urgency for someone to help. That's what that United We Can video is all about. They're not begging in a bad way. Neither was this man. But another translation says, pleading, please. What you have, we need. What you have, we need. See, God always gives us a vision from a need. See, God told Moses, I hear the cry of my people, so I'm sending you. Nehemiah got the vision of rebuilding the walls after he heard the need of them being burnt down. There was a need for a church, for a people that nobody else wanted. And so God raised up our founders and gave them a vision to open up a church and fill it with drug addicts and their family members. The vision is compelling. Next, the vision was not only compelling, but it required cost. Because then they said, they just didn't say, pray for us. The man from Macedonia, could you pray for us? He didn't say that. What did he say? He said, come over. Come over. Come on, try it with me. Say, come over. Come on, say it again. Come over. You know what that means? That means to go. How are we going to inherit the nations if we are not willing to go to the nations? You got to go. You got to get yourself either in on a Greyhound bus or in a Mexicana flight and travel to Mexico City, to Germany, Europe, to the East Coast. You got to go. See, you must ask yourself this evening. Are you willing to pay the price for this awesome vision? Are you willing to pay the price for this awesome vision? Because there's two prices, and I'm sure there's many others, but two ones that I want to bring on. Number one, the price that you have to go. You're going to have to leave your friends, your family. Yes, your homemade mom cooking tortillas. I know she makes the best beans in the world. But yes, you're going to have to leave your Nino, your Nina, your Chihuahua, and all of them, and you're going to have to go. You're going to have to leave your friends, your cruising buddies, your buddies on Friday night right there going to the movies. You've seen every movie there in Blockbuster anyways. You got to leave. You got to go. You got to say, hey, I got to go. I got to go. I can't stay here anymore. God has a vision for me. I got to go. I can't stay here no longer. I have to go. I like you guys. You guys are good homies. But if you want to stay here, I got to go. They're calling me. God's calling me to come over. I got to go to Europe. I got to go to Central America. I got to go to Asia. They're calling me. Hey, I understand that. You know what? You might need me, and you know the compadres and the amigos, and you know, hey, not the same, homie. Hey, it's not gonna be all. But you know what? You gotta make a choice and say, hey, it's about time that I make a decision, not based on what my homeboys and my homegirls say, but I gotta make a choice on what God says and what God's telling me. God's telling me to go. Another price that we have to pay is the price in our giving. Did you hear that? I know you heard it. I know in the back you heard it. What did I say? That's right. Give in. I believe put your money where your vision is. Don't you dare tell us you got the vision, and you're not a United We Can member. Don't you dare tell your pastor you got his back, and you're not a faithful tither. Oh, I know you guys don't want to hear this. Oh, now I'm stepping on shoes. But yeah, baby, I'm coming up. That's right. The reason why we got to tell you to give, because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you do give, you know what happens? It comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. When you do give, you break the back of the devil. When you do give, you open the windows of heaven. When you do give, you break the curse of poverty mentality. Secondly, not only Paul did have an upward vision, but secondly, Paul had an inward vision. After Paul had seen the vision, the Bible says we got ready at once to leave from Macedonia. See, having an inward vision means getting ourselves ready inwardly. We need to have a vision not only for our ministry, but also a vision for the inside of us. So for meaning this, if the enemy can't affect how you see God, then the next best thing is to damage how you see yourself. See, you may come to the point that you can believe God can do anything. He can do the impossible, but you can't do nothing yourself. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But like Gideon, many of us, I'm sure all of us, have issues, complexes, insecurities, struggles, hang-ups, hurts, bitterness. I'm sure we all have areas to change that we feel are holding us down, like pride, lust. Yeah, I know who I'm talking to. This is the youth. Lust. And for you in the back, lust. And for you in the foyer that's not in here, lust. Fears and negative attitudes. And so we allow these issues, these hang-ups, these struggles to blind us from the inward vision that God wants to give to us. But nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless. God said, I have a vision for you, Gideon. That even though you have all kinds of complexes, you're the weakest of the weak, you come from the poorest family, I'm still calling you to be a mighty man of valor. See, God is not looking what you are, but rather he was looking at you of what you can become, because he sees the potential in you. God sees the potential in your life. You may be 16 years old. God sees the potential in your life. You may be 19 years old. God sees the potential in your life. So we need to have an inward vision of ourselves. Meaning this, that we need, like Paul, we need to get ready. We need to get ready to leave our old selves and start walking towards the new man that God's called us to be. You need to declare tonight. Listen to me. You need to declare tonight to the devil, to your friends, even yourself, and say, hey, I'm leaving this. I'm leaving this struggle. I'm leaving this pride. I'm leaving this lust. I'm leaving this fear. I'm leaving it. This youth convention, I'm getting myself ready. I'm getting myself ready, not to look good, but I'm getting ready to leave this. Hey, fear, struggles, insecurities, negativity. Hey, you're staying here because I'm going there. And don't think you're coming with me. You lying devil, stay back. Get off me. You ain't coming with me. I ain't going back to my city with you. Now get over there. Hey, I gotta go. I gotta go somewhere. I gotta take a city. I'm on my way. Hey, I tell you what, I gotta get there. Hey, tell your neighbor, say, hey, I'm on the way. Come on, Tom, say, I'm on the way. Say, I may be stumbling. I may be tripping. Oh, but baby, I'm still on the way. Hey, I'm tired of
being in this struggle. I'm tired of being sick in body. I'm tired of being all negative. I gotta go. I gotta leave this. I gotta get away from this. I got to go. I'm getting myself ready. I'm getting ready. I'm going to the altar call. I'm praying. I'm seeking God. Because when I get back to my city, devil, when I get back to my school, whoa, watch out! Somebody shout, I'm on the way! Somebody shout, I'm on the way! I'm on the way. You might stumble a little bit. You might straggle a little bit. You might get tripped up a little bit. But baby, I'm not going backwards. I'm not going sideways. I'm not getting diverted. I'm still on the way. And devil, stay back there. You can't lust. Get off me. Yeah, because I'm on the way. I got to go somewhere. God's given me a vision. God's given me a calling. God's given me a city. God's given me a promise. And I'm on the way. Oh, somebody praise God. Somebody praise God in this place. Somebody shout, yeah. Somebody shout, yeah! Say, I'm on the way. Tell three people, I'm on the way. I'm on the way. I'm on the way. I'm on the way. Don't hold me down. Don't hold me back. Hey, hey, you want to stay there? Stay there, because I'm on the way. I got to go somewhere. I got a vision. I got a calling. I got somewhere to reach. I got somewhere to go. I got a promise. I'm on the way! Woo! I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost in this place! Somebody shout, yeah! Woo! My God! My God! Oh, yeah! I'm on the way. I'm on the way. I said, I'm on the way. I ain't done yet. I ain't even come to my best point. Sit down. I'm just. I'm almost done. I'll be done right now. You want to stand? Go ahead. Stay standing right there, because you don't mind standing. The Bible says they left at once. That means that we should be ready to go when? We should be ready to go when? I thank God, Pastor, didn't put God's anointed tomorrow generation. Thank you, Pastor. I thank you for not putting God next year generation. Do you hear what we stand for? Do you hear what's coming out of our mouth? Do you understand what we are saying? We are God's anointed. We are God's anointed. Why are you still there then? See, when God's calling comes, we must comply with immediate obedience. For partial obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You must be able to say like Paul, I was not disobedient
unto the heavenly vision. Lastly, Paul not only had an upward vision, inward vision, but lastly, Paul had an outward vision. He says, and he writes, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, Paul concluded that he knew that it was God who called them. You must understand that it is God who called you, not man. It's not your pastor. It's not your leaders. It's not your parents. It's none of those people. It is God Almighty who called you. So if you have a problem with it, don't complain to your pastor. Take it up with. Because God will always provide. God will always be there. God's the one that called you. And what did Paul know that they were called to? They knew they were called to preach. Woo, the gospel. Oh, if we ever needed preachers to rise up, it is now. Preachers who preach the gospel of Christ. See, we don't want preachers who preach with a shallow or superficial message. We have tons of those. We don't need shallow preaching or superficial preaching. We don't need preaching with a bunch of shouts. We don't need preachers who preach for self-glory. We need preachers who preach the message of the cross. 1 Corinthians 17 verse 18 says, for Christ did not send me to baptize you, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message, the power, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power. It is the power of God. My friend, we need preachers to rise up who preach with the authority, who preach with the anointing, who preach with conviction, and who preach with compassion. We need preachers who preach with conviction, and they preach with conviction because they live what they say. They live what they say. They're not telling you to do something that you're not doing. They're not doing themselves. That's the world. But oh, my friend, we need preachers who preach the Bible truth and who live it, who live it, who live it. And preachers who preach with compassion. You preach because you love God and you love souls. You love God and you love souls. Or else, why would you want to preach? Why would you want to get behind the platform if you don't love God or love souls? We were in our European invasion. We were in Germany, new territory. Victory, which I'm sure people have been there, but there's not a work there yet. They're going to be launched out in the end of the year. As we're witnessing, they have these punkers, hardcore punkers, but they're like nomads, gypsies, wanderers. They just live on the streets. No jobs, no nothing. And as we're witnessing, I'm talking to this guy. I'll never forget their names, William and Clara. And I'm telling them about Jesus. And all of a sudden, this girl, Clara, began to tell me, Jesus don't love me. He hates me. You know why he hates me? Because my parents left. They hate me.
All my family hate me. They don't want me at home. These friends, they hate me. They're not even my friends. This is the broken English. They speak nothing but German. And the whole time she's just saying that Jesus hates her. So contrary to what we say, that Jesus loves her. She's saying, Jesus, he can't love me. He just hates me. And as I'm standing, as I'm talking to her, this man and this woman reminded me of this man that Paul seen, and which we all describe as the Macedonia call. These two people represented to me at that particular time, this generation of the entire world, even though it was just two, but it represented millions of young people that are hooked on drugs, alcohol, hurting, loss. And I'm sure some of them feel that Jesus hates them. I couldn't fathom it. Because all I heard growing up was that Jesus loves you. I was raised in this ministry. My entire life I heard, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves East LA. Jesus loves, Bridge, all these places. And all of a sudden I hear, Jesus hates me. All of a sudden, you know what I felt inside? I felt, oh God, if there's ever a time for young people to rise up and don't go there preaching things that they don't have, but going there and preaching the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary, that's what it's all about. It's about the love of Jesus. It's about letting people know that no matter what they've been through, no matter how hooked they are, no matter how much tattoos they got, that Jesus still loves them. And if ever we need preachers to rise up, we need preachers now. We need preachers who say like Paul, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I gotta preach. You can't stop me from preaching, devil. I gotta tell somebody about Jesus. I gotta tell a drug addict about Jesus. I gotta tell a gang member about Jesus. I gotta declare the gospel. I gotta tell somebody about the cross. Come on, somebody, give God a hand. We need preachers to rise up. We need pastors to rise up. We need evangelists to rise up. We need missionaries to rise up. We need leaders to rise up. Rise up. Oh, come on, preacher. Rise up. Yes, you 16 years old. Rise up, preacher. Yeah, you 19 years old. Rise up, preacher. Yeah, you 25 years old. Rise up, preacher. Come on, preachers. Come on. Begin to praise God. I said, come on, preachers. Begin to praise God. We need preachers in this generation. I said we need preachers in this generation. Come on, come on, come on. Rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up. Oh yeah. Watch out, devil. Watch out. Preachers are coming. Preachers are on the way. There goes a preacher. There goes a preacher. There goes a preacher. There goes a preacher. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Yeah, preacher. Yeah, you. Oh, come on. Are you a preacher? Is there any preachers? Is there any anointed? All spirit filled. Preach the gospel of the cross. Oh, come on, somebody. Begin to praise God.
Keep believing. Come on, we're going to.
come to the conclusions of the message, and we pray that you have been blessed. If you'd like more information regarding the ministries of Victory Outreach International, please log on to www.victoryoutreach.org.